First of all, I would just like to introduce some of the other members of the Green Building team so you can be aware of who they are. Stacy Clausen with the Planning Department. Scott Guder with the Planning Department. He's in the back. And Tom Jansen with the Building Department. So a brief overview of our program, very brief, is that we would like to create a green building program for the city of Kirkland. And that involves a permitting process for green homes. And as part of that process, this is the public process part, we would like to educate about the different programs that are available. And also, really importantly, we would like to get your input in order to create the most effective program for the city of Kirkland. So today's forum will be about education, but it's equally important to us to get your comments as well. Please note in your packet at the back there, there's a questionnaire, and that's going to be pretty vital to having your input there. And if you could fill it out by the end of our forum and return it at the door to Scott, that would be much appreciated. Our first speaker will be discussing the emerging trends in green building in the real estate market. And Ben is the co-founder of Greenworks Realty. It's a local real estate brokerage and land development firm. And he's going to be giving you some case studies and some really great information about what's working in the green building arena. Please help me welcome Ben Kaufman.
Good morning, everyone. How's the microphone? Can everyone hear me in the back all right? Terrific. Well, thanks for taking the time out and coming out this morning. I know how busy everyone is these days, particularly in the building trade, and it's really thankful that you're coming out today to learn more about green and what's happening in the marketplace, and just wanted to thank you all for that. You know, you've got a really good city. The city wanted me to warm you guys. Personally requested that I warm you up with a joke or two, and so I kind of scoured the internet. And, one of the good ones. I have to have a raise in my commission. The agent said to his manager, "There are three other companies after me." "Is that so?" said the manager. "What other companies are after you?" "The electric company, the telephone company, and the gas company." And this is one that'll be familiar to any brokers in the audience. A broker was dismayed when a brand new real estate office, much like his own, opened up next door and erected a huge sign which read, "Best Agents." He was horrified when another competitor opened up on his right, announced its arrival with an even larger sign reading, "Lowest Commissions." The broker panicked until he got an idea. He put the biggest sign of all over his own real estate office. It read, "Main Entrance." So with that, I'll begin my presentation. I'm Ben Kaufman, broker and owner of Greenworks Realty. We're located over on Finney Ridge in the Seattle neighborhood. This is an overview of what we're going to be going through today. I've got about 20 slides, so I'm going to keep it to a minimum. I've also got about 20 minutes. And so what I'd like to do is just kind of go through, provide quite a bit of information, but there's also a handout which has everything has all the slides in it. So, and there's a 10-minute question after 20-minute presentation. So any you know, feel free to ask any question. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over the new checkbox that's in the MLS. I'm going to go over a couple of case studies, a couple of community studies, and then some best practice tips. So a little bit about Greenworks Realty. We were founded in 2002. My father and I opened up the business. We started out as a family-run company just to do some local deals, buying and selling some apartment buildings that my dad specialized in property management. And essentially, I was really passionate about green. And so I really wanted to work as an agent, but specialize in something, and that was green. And so it attracted some other agents. We're now up to 14 folks. And so we've got quite a bit of really interested people. We we started out with some land deals, and that kind of got us into good shape. And so we consider ourselves to be authentic, collaborative, and focused on our clients. So we share a lot of information in our weekly meetings amongst the agents. So what I wanted to do was jump into the new Northwest Multiple Listing Service green home checkboxes. These went live last week, so this is now in the multiple as we speak. And I'll show you a couple of figures of who's starting to use it now. But what we have up on the board essentially is the new checkboxes. There's five of them that are under a new header called environmental certification. And you can now, if your home is certified as built green, as LEED, as Energy Star, if there's some other sort of certification like American Lung Association, Healthy Home, or if it's been verified by a third party, which equates to LEED and also equates to the fourth and fifth star level of built green. At the one, two, and three star level of built green, it's a self-certification. The four and fifth star, it's a third party verification. So we included a fifth checkbox on there, third party verification. So you can differentiate and to kind of, it's got a little bit more teeth. It's a third party person who's in there doing the verification on it. And so what we did was in that verification, we also made it available to attach, kind of the last thing up here, the new external document option. That is, you can actually now take the third party verification and attach it to the listing, much like you would a Form 17 seller disclosure or a title report. So in anything, there's about 15 different items that you can attach now to the third party to purchase and sale agreements these days. And you can actually even have an agent present it to a buyer as a purchase and sale document, initial it much as like you would another agenda item, like you would a title report or a Form 17 or something along those lines, you know, well addendum, something like that. So that's now available, and that will get in front of, from a builder's perspective, it will get a really detailed list up in front of your buyers who are looking, who may really want to know some of those details. So I'll do a quick overview. The three main kind of verifications that we, or certifications that we included were Built Green, Energy Star Homes, and LEED. And a little bit more about the process. I spearheaded and authored the proposal to the Northwest Multiple Listing Service, myself and my company. And we also worked with a broad array. There was myself and Michelle Hutchins, is a broker owner up in, of a Windermere office in Lake Stevens, and she's a Northwest Multiple Listing board member. We presented it to the board, and the board was really far-sighted. We're the second board, MLS board, in the country to take this on. So Portland beat us to the punch by a couple of months. They got it going in February, and we're the second and also the largest in the country now that's doing this. So several of the programs up here, Built Green, Energy Star, and LEED. There's lots of information on the website, and I know that this information's up on the board behind me. You can visit their different websites to get more information about them. It's good to know who's out there doing what. It's very helpful for education and for marketing from a builder's perspective to have some knowledge of these different programs. So I wanted to get into a couple of case stories. What we're going to do is go over a couple of listings that we've marketed and sold through our company in the last 6 months, all green homes. And I'm trying to touch upon a couple of different emerging trends that I'm seeing, which include design, which include the different features. A lot of information. I've got a lot of pictures. And so I'll just kind of talk a little bit and tell some stories about what it was that we were doing. So in looking at... the first case that we have up on the board here is Tony Case. These just closed about 3 weeks ago. This is a pretty high-end home it's located in Columbia City, and essentially some of the information that we have up there, there's three homes. One was a pre-sale and actually helped finance. The builder came in with the land, pre-sold the land. It was actually an all-in-one financing deal where the buyer of the first house financed, well, let me go back a little bit. the first, there was three homes that were sold by this builder 2 years ago. There was a lot of press and attention that was garnered because it was green, because it had some unique design features. It made some magazine mentions. So there was a list. There was basically about 10 people that were interested in buying these homes. There were three homes, so there was a wait list. So we cultivated that wait list, and he had some other property nearby under control. And so we took one of those buyers, and they took on the financing for basically like a one-time close loan, where the financing paid for the land. It also paid for the buyer carried the financing for the land, then for the construction costs, and then the takeout loan, which took out the two loans before it. And it wasn't on the builder's back. But because the builder had two other parcels that could be subdivided with this piece, they took those to market. So we ended up listing two homes, one at $550, one at $650. We put it on the market in, I don't know if we have it up there. We did a two-week time period. We waited till they were about 90% done. Landscaping was in. They popped when you walked into them, and put them up on the MLS at that point. And we had over 2 weeks, several hundred people through the house. We had got some press attention, got some PR attention for it. And we had competitive offers. And there's some more pictures of it. So we had competitive offers on both homes. One sold for $35,000 over asking. The one at $550 sold at $585, and with two competitive bids with escalation clauses. And the one at $650 sold at $745 with two competitive offers with escalators in them. So what we have, and the reason, this is the one that sold at the higher price point, and the reason that it did is it was a steel frame, actually, with a living room and kitchen that cantilevered out over the basement. You really had the feeling that you were in the tree canopy. It had a rain screen siding on the side here. It was a three-star built green, bamboo floors. There was a real wow factor when you walked in. On the top, this is the master bedroom. There was a green roof with a patio that came out, a master suite upstairs with kind of an office or smaller bedroom. So the buyer's couple, it was an architect who was had been looking for 8 or 9 months. It was one architect and then a partner, and they brought with them a building, one of the lead project managers for a large builder in town. And what they found was, so you basically had an incredibly well-educated couple with a friend who was an amazing building inspector. So it was as an educated client as you could have. And they knew exactly what they were looking for. They'd been looking for something that would meet their needs for over 8 months. They'd already been living in an architecturally significant house. They were looking to make one move over time. So they were willing to go $100,000 over in their escalator clause, and then they had another competing couple that they won out over. So that was kind of the story of who the buyers are. So this is Martha Rose Construction. This is Columbia City. This is Rainier Vista Project within the city of Seattle. It's a blended income community, and so we sold these out last summer. And what we did was we did behind the walls tours is one method that we put into place to move these. And so we actually went out and had people through the home while the homes were being built so that we could showcase what was behind the walls. We didn't sell anything during that time period. It was very difficult to move these homes without having other completed homes nearby that we could showcase. But what we did do was build up buzz. And then when it was ready to buy, when they were completed and people could walk through them, they started to go really quickly. And some of the, I'm not going to cover some of the features. They're in your handout, so you can kind of look at those. But, let's see here. Hey, there's the rest of it. So what she did have in there, she had etched concrete flooring, a solar room with on the south side, covered front porches, dual flush toilets, nice modern finishes, I'll just keep going on. These were five-star, the only five-star that we've seen. And a lot of our, we did, out of the 13, we had three that spent $36,000 additional for solar package. And that was, I think, a 1,200 kilowatt solar photovoltaic on the roof, and then a solar hot water return system on the roof as well. And so it was all pre-wired in the house, so it made it pretty easy to do that. So this is a green remodel in the Finney Ridge neighborhood. And on that remodel, you essentially had a house that was purchased at $327,000, and $400,000 to $450,000 added. They could have gone a third story, but they didn't. They kept it at two stories. And they had height advantages, or they had view. They were overlooking Green Lake and the Cascade Mountains, but they wanted to keep in scale with the neighborhood. So they felt, as from a builder, they felt like they were really taking on some risks because they weren't really maximizing the traditional potential of a home. And so what they did, though, is they poured their money into the quality of the home. And so what they did was, and from an agent's perspective, again, we were able to hold an open house, have 2 weeks' worth of people going through it, really build some buzz over it, and we got full price. And this was a pretty high price for the neighborhood. So, and the builder made money on it, was pretty happy at the end of the day, and got a couple of other jobs out of it. Another remodel, and then some folks were talking to them about some property that they had available. So the builder's been really happy with that one. Here's some pictures of the remodel. So, again, just a real quality job using green materials. So a lot of time, if you're buying quality materials and you're going the extra mile, you might as well look around, check where it's coming from, look at the how far away it's coming from, the transportation costs of it, the what the materials are made out of, the toxicity, because you can spend. You're not talking about spending more. You're just talking about spending for high end on the real. The darker green does cost some money, and if you're going to put that money into it, you really want to make sure that you're getting not only the quality, but you also want to be able to tell the story. And so by doing a little bit of homework, you can find out some of the things that are selling. So some development trends, just seeing projects. Woo. Sorry about that. We're just starting to see some emerging trends in more community in the layout and the site planning. So not only the green home application, but then also a community application. And right here in your backyard, you've got a wonderful example of that with the cottage company and what they've done at Danielson Grove and Conover Commons. And so they're in your neighborhood if you want to go look at them. I don't want to take up a ton of time with it. But it's four-star built green. Really strong community layout, community building right here. Didn't make any money on that, just built it as an extra house for everyone or an extra gathering space. Clustered periphery parking. You've got living spaces on you've got kitchens and porches and living rooms looking out onto a commons area right here. You've got common walkways. You have parking underneath right here supplying the parking for these homes. So a couple of interesting design items there. Vineyard Lanes is a project that I've been pretty excited about. It's over in Bainbridge Island. It's not too far off the ferry at Winslow. It's winner of a recent award for a green building in Kitsap County. And again, what you've got here is you've got rain screen siding. You've got eco pavers down right here. You've got pathways leading to homes that have detached parking. You've got the FSC wood. Some of the other things that I wrote down about the project there is... and so kind of looking at some more pictures, again, you've got stacked and attached row housing, you've got penthouses. This grapevine right here is a commons building, and it's actually there's a commercial lease on the commons building to provide services to the residents. And then here you have a cottage cluster. The parking for the cottage cluster is underneath the flats. And then this is a really well manicured, this is a gorgeous commons area. And there's a major road right here. This is 305. They bermed it. There's not, you can hear the motorcycles when they go past, particularly the Harleys, but it's really peaceful inside of here with the water feature and with the commons gathering area. Parking, again, is on the periphery. So I'm involved in a project called the Trails at Newcastle, down in Newcastle, and we've taken on similar. We've got a commons building that we're programming in. periphery parking, parking on the road, access as parking for some of the other units, community scale, and we held a builder charrette a couple about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. And so these are some of the major, and the charrette is basically where everyone's coming together. You've got, at that meeting, we had the architect, a couple of general contractors that were brought in just for the day, landscape architect, a mechanical engineer, the development team, the developers team, and it's really part of an integrated design process. We also had a real estate agent do a real lengthy kind of market survey and study and present some focus group studies. So we really wanted to, and then at the end of it, we came up with some big goals. And so this is in your notes, so you can get some stuff there to look at. So I wanted to go through some stats that I pulled from the Northwest Multiple Listing Service last night about the new built green checkboxes. And so this is about a week. It was last Wednesday they went live. And so this is about 9 days later. I did a search for the number of people that have checkmarked, the number of sellers that have checkmarked built green. And in the entire, I think it's 17 counties is serviced by MLS, there's 65 listed as built green. There's one, a resale in Kirkland, that has built green checked on it. So I encourage all the builders out there to check out what you've got and get them up on the MLS. Energy Star 51 now are showing up, three in Kirkland, and it's all D.R. Hortons. Not sure the location, but it's pretty close by here. So they're up now as a certified Energy Star home. Lead hasn't made it up there yet. Other is up there as 17, and then 13 are third-party certified up there. So I just want to do a few quick tips. Build to your price point. Start with the price of the home. You know, that can get lost. But, you know, as you're making choices about how to build green and looking over your costs and where to put your money and your budget, you know, start with your price point. You know your buyer, start with the price point. And then what we're recommending in green is quality over quantity. And prioritize. Get the best bang for your buck. Work with your agent to understand what amenities are moving in the marketplace, and then prioritize those amenities along with, like, do you put money into solar photovoltaics or do you put money into the insulation in the envelope? You know, good question. How are you going to sell it? So those types of questions. Don't skimp on the design. Design is really moving. If you build a cookie cutter and it's really dark green, it's going to be hard to get the best bang for the buck on that because design matters. There's a lot of similar building products out there these days that we see. And for those adventurous enough to try some different types of design, if they do it right, we're seeing some payback. Work with the subs from a builder. You really, if you want to go green, there's got to be some top-down leadership. You've got to show vision and passion for it or willingness, and because some of those subs are going to do what they're going to do. They have their relationships. You've got to be in there kind of guiding them to make sure that they're making the changes and doing the follow-through. And then working with agents. It's at the point of presence, at the sale, the agent really needs to know what he or she is talking about so that they can get the value proposition, and they can have a features and advantages and a benefits matrix put together so they can get across all of the money that you've spent, all that the blood, sweat, and tears. And then so that you can close your deals and get your best, get the profit out of the what you've put into it. So that's my presentation. Can I probably have maybe a minute or two for questions?
Dan?
Yeah.
Can you talk about materials a little bit more, maybe touch upon GreenGuard?
Sorry. Could you just touch upon, for the benefit of the builders, you know, some of the sources where you find healthier materials, Environmental Home Center, GreenGuard certification, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, for materials, I start with the Environmental Home Center. I'll ask a lot of questions. I'll go through the green pages from the put out by the Northwest Eco Building Guild. I'll go through Built Green and look at their suppliers who have joined up Built Green. Green Guard is another resource. Environmental Builder News, I'll look at that. I get a number of magazine subscriptions. I'm always kind of going through there looking at what materials are popping up and where it's coming from. I also look at When I'm looking at when I'm talking to builders and going around, I'm kind of taking a mention. I'm having conversations with them to understand what they're putting into their buildings, and so that I can and ask them where they're like, the windows at Vineyard Lane are Sierra Pacific, and they're aluminum clad with an FSC certified lumber. FSC is Forest Stewardship Council, so it's kind of a sustainable culling of the forest, and it's a premium product that we can sell both for the functionality of it, the beauty of it, and the sustainability of it. My pleasure, Joe.
Hey, we're building Built Green up in the Issaquah Islands, mm-hmm. Four-star, and what I'm finding is our biggest issue is our subcontractors are completely unaware of what Built Green is or how they can, you know, sustain Built Green and make it, you know, work with us. And it seems like we're spending an awful lot of time trying to educate them. Is there a place that these guys can go for specialized, you know, for mechanical, plumbing, electrical, whatever it is, for education on what Built Green material they can use to alleviate, you know, the hours spent trying to get these guys to rework numbers because they need to meet Built Green standards?
Yeah. Some of the education I'm seeing out there is through the Master Builders Association, the Built Green program, checking in with them. I think it starts with top-down leadership. I really think it's got to be something strong. I mean, you know, you're controlling them for dirt and for cleanliness and keeping your site clean. You know, you're putting up your job site rules. It's really bringing into the culture of the company. So mission, vision, values, starting there, being clear about it, that this is something that's meaningful to the owner of the construction company, and then making sure that it trickles all the way down and keeping people accountable for it. There's even some, I mean, I think at Issaquah Highlands, there's probably some accountability measures in place there to make sure that you're putting that stuff in place. And so there's a number of trainers that are growing in the area. Alistar, I don't know if there's any programs through O'Brien and Company. There's a sustainable building advisory program that might not be the best fit, but
I'll talk
and
about it a
talk
little
about
bit
this,
in my
yeah.
session. It's probably the best way to do it. So.
Yeah.
I can answer to that question. One of the things...
I'm Joe Coakley, by the way, that I was responsible for the whole Issaquah Highlands Built Green program, so I can talk a little bit to it. One idea you might think about is getting someone, a builder, someone like, I'm thinking of John Alexander, who Port Blakely spent some time with and helping underwrite an upcoming program for the American Lung Association. There's a healthy home demonstration home that will be built next year in Issaquah Highlands by Bennett Homes. But we spent quite a bit of time coming up with sort of a material specification list, seeing this as a shortfall in the industry today, that the lack of knowledge that you can find locally here. I'm aware of one source right now that, you know, the Environmental Home Center in Seattle, which isn't have great products, but it's not sometimes necessarily set up for a large production builder. So with that in mind, I would just start networking with people. One of the goals in the Master Builders Program, long-term goals and strategic plan that we did a few years ago, is to create an association of purchasing people, purchasing agents and project managers that could somehow create a network and possibly have a monthly or quarterly meeting sharing information. Because like, this thing is really growing. If you look at the media today, look at the national media, this is going on all across the country. And there's definitely some changes going on. I encourage builders that are thinking about this, if you're on the fence and you want to get out in front and really create a competitive edge for your brand, you're at the forefront right now. This thing is really starting to get some legs. If you just look at the membership alone, that what's taking place at the MBA, it's absolutely spiraling. And to see a builder like D.R. Horton doing Energy Star in Kirkland, that's great. So hope that if you have more questions, just see me afterwards, and I'll be happy to give you some more information.
Given the increasingly sophistication of the buyers, as you referenced, are the realtors getting training so they can present the product and deal with the tough questions that are coming from the buyers?
I would say it's a crucial element of moving the green market forward is agent education. I think the builders were early adopters and educated themselves, looking for market advantage. They had some money to make on it. There's probably not enough housing stock right now that's green, that's encouraging agents to really take this on and learn as much but I think with the changes that are coming right now, there's more and more agents that are showing up to education classes. And there are classes being provided through Master Builders, through Built Green program, through there's a number of title agencies that offer clock hours, and you're starting to see more and more green education showing up there. You know, you had feng shui, and now it's kind of getting into green, and so those clock hour courses. But I'd say it's a crucial piece of it, wherein you used to have the appraisers who never had anything to appraise that was green, so therefore couldn't necessarily justify the loan and the financing. That's there now. Now it's at the point of sale, making sure that the builder's getting the best bang for his or her buck. If you're going to spend the money, you want to get it back in your pocket plus profit, and so the buyer needs to have a value proposition. That's a lot to learn for an agent. An agent already has quite a bit on their plate in order to kind of learn what features are in a home and to kind of introduce this whole other concept. It's taken me years to get my mind around everything and to have a real thorough understanding of it. And so, you know, a 2 or 3 hour class is a great beginning, so make sure everyone shows up to that and takes those courses. And really the integrated design process, having an agent sit down with a charrette, meeting the architect, meeting the mechanical, meeting the landscape architect, and then looking at the 270 different checklist items in Built Green, having an understanding through the project. You know, if you're working with a good agent, you're working at the beginning and they're kind of helping you programming with the marketplace and buyer profiles. So they should extend that to green as well.
I honestly did not pay Dave to ask that question. I'm Brenda Nunes, president of the Kirkland Chamber, and I just wanted to mention that in September we're doing a month-long promotion of sustainability. September 14th, we're doing an all-day training session aimed at those very people, the professionals in real estate, mortgage, banking, finance, and anybody that really touches the building industry, just so they can leave at the end of the day knowing an overview of green building from A to Z. So look out for Sustainable September. And if any of you want to be involved, we are also going to be having an expo, trade show, booths, lots of public. We're bringing in a national MC. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, well, moving on, going to be conscious of your time. Our next speaker is going to be going over some of the programs, green building programs, that Ben alluded to, Built Green and LEED for Homes. And that's really important to kind of have an understanding of what's out there, who's using it, and what are the components of those programs. Alistair Jackson is a consultant for O'Brien and Company. And please help me in welcoming Alistair.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Yeah, okay. So we got a little bit of a late start, so I'm going to try and scoot on a little bit. I'm Alistair Jackson. I work with O'Brien and Company. We've been involved in the green building arena for many years, and I'm just realizing I don't have the remote control for the... Here it is. I got it. Going on about 15 years, I guess. Kathleen O'Brien, our founder, began the process. You can do it. Here we go. So we've started off really doing research and policy analysis work because that was what needed to be done. We then got into developing green building programs. And so really what I'm wanting to talk to you about is what's happening in terms of green building programs generally, where the value is. And a little bit about what's available here in the local market and how to use it. And we'll kind of buzz through some observations and ideas pretty quickly. And then you can get on and hear from Jim Tennyson over here, who's actually doing it. So valuable input from him. And then maybe I think we're going to try and have a little Q&A session at the end. So maybe we can kind of focus questions into that. Unless you want to clarify something that I said, in which case go ahead and stick your hand up. So we helped develop the Built Green program here locally with a huge amount of input and support from builders and developers, people like Joe Coakley and others who really helped to make that happen. And, you know, it's made a huge difference in the marketplace. We also are involved in capacity building. Probably one of the biggest challenges right now, as this gentleman over here identified, you know, we now have an audience who wants green. We have builders who want to build green and respond to that demand. And suddenly we have a challenge, and we don't have materials. We don't have people who know how to install or even to get high-performance equipment. And, you know, we've got a challenge in terms of subcontractors in being able to deliver a lot of the skills. So, you know, there's a lot of excitement and opportunity out there, but there's a real need to help build the capacity to meet that demand. And that's one of the places that I think green building programs can really help. And then we do design consulting and increasingly verification work as well. So in the residential marketplace, doing third-party verifications, but helping at the front end, either with an architect or a builder, helping them to figure out how to get to the product that they want, and at the same time to fit and work with the programs and so on, and then maybe helping them with doing some of that work with their contractors and so on to be able to get things the way they want them. So we're kind of involved at pretty much all levels from that point of view. It's a sure sign things are happening, right? When two things happen, one, you get competition, and two, the comics start making fun of you, so you know you've made it, right? So this was kind of entertaining. And I think it's poignant because, you know, this is kind of like the evangelical church of Gaia, right? That this is what it's about. You're not green unless you go live in a cave and turn the lights off. And that's been kind of a perception and one of the challenges in the market, but I think we're seeing a real sign that that's shifting. We have really tried hard to always reach out and meet people where they are, and I think it's an important piece in terms of whatever you do is to understand that whatever your personal value set is, you want to be clear about how that fits with what you do and how that interfaces with your customer or your client or whatever, and I think that's one of the things to really think about and one of the things that programs can help you with. Just out of interest, give me an idea of who you are. Who's a developer here? Okay. Builders. General contractors. Subcontractors. Real estate agents. Okay. City officials. Design professionals, engineers. And journalists. Attorneys. Okay. I know where I'm safe then. Great. That's good. So a pretty good spread. No subcontractors in the room, which, again, kind of interesting. And I think where we've had a real problem in terms of programs is we haven't necessarily built value in the programs for subcontractors. And that's something we've been trying to do more recently with some of the more recent programs that we've worked on. So here's the response to the Evangelical Church of Gaia, which is, okay, I'm going to take my SUV and mow you down. And that's kind of been the other side of the coin. But, you know, the reality is that this can be a win-win situation. You know, we don't have to make other people sacrifice. We don't necessarily have to sacrifice for ourselves, but we do have to do a little bit of realigning and rethinking. And again, I think that's where green building programs, whether they're sort of voluntary organizational programs or whether they're city programs, county programs, federal programs, who knows, you know, can really help from that point of view. So, this is, you know, yet another indication. I'm not going to go too much. I think Ben did a great job of identifying that it is happening. But I got to tell you that when the NAHB says we're at a tipping point, you know, that means something. When the NAHB says that 50% of their builders are focusing on green, that's really saying something. It's saying two things. One, it's saying, yep, we're in the mainstream. And one, two, it's saying, what do we mean by green? So when they say 50% of builders are focusing on green, you know, what are they talking about? And again, I think that's one of the important things that green programs can really help us with, is to help clarify that. This is kind of interesting. These are also NAHB statistics, I think, and this is just kind of turning it around and looking at the consumer a little bit more. This graph looks at perceptions going in. A homeowner, the white bar, what does a homeowner think they're going to get when they buy a new home? The orange bar is what they felt after they got into that new home. So anybody want to make a dazzling observation about that chart?
There's a shortfall. Some really important things, but there's an alignment with natural.
Yeah, yeah, there are several things going on there. One of them is the orange bar only exceeds the white bar in one case, I think. Right, around healthy, natural. So that's kind of interesting to me, because it doesn't necessarily jibe with reality in terms of what we're seeing in the current marketplace. But I think the other areas that are interesting are that, you know, there's some big gaps in terms of builder reputation, reliability, quality, energy efficiency, and durability in particular are things we pulled out. And those are all things that green building is known to help address. There's a sense that people who build green and work with green building programs are better quality builders. There's a reputational match there that we've seen from statistics. One of the things that green building does is it focuses more on how a home works as a system, and that tends to help from the reliability and durability point of view. People plan ahead their projects, so they tend to function better. They tend to not have to deal with challenging little problems on the construction site that result in things we'd rather not talk about going behind the drywall. So these are all things that we can make some real progress on in terms of improving the customer experience as far as new construction is concerned. And the other one that jumps out there is energy efficiency. These are national figures. Here, we operate under a stricter code, as you know, for energy efficiency, and so it's probably a little better from that point of view. But nonetheless, in the current marketplace, where I think a couple of things that are top of mind are fuel costs and this global warming thing. Whatever you think about it, the reality is the market is adjusting to it, the regulatory environment is responding to it, and so it's becoming a reality. And so energy efficiency is a big target to shoot at in terms of performance gains and change in perception of your product and how you do what you do as a builder. So, here we go. Classic green building, right? This is what everybody used to think. It's a green home. It's going to be natural. It's durable if it's built, you know, where it's supposed to be, in the African plains or somewhere, but it's not going to be particularly durable here in the Pacific Northwest, right? So I don't think it's functional necessarily as a green home. Here's another Seattle green home, and I'm really having trouble here. Here's a built green project here in the city of Seattle. Very green, lots of great features, solar panels on the roof and so on, but not necessarily your mainstream kind of meat of the bell curve type home. So, you know, the reality is, and Joe will recognize this one, I'm sure, that very green homes can just look like the next home down the street. And so we have this great opportunity to really start jumping into that. One of the things that I think is important to think about, thinking about the availability of materials and that sort of thing, it's not just what you choose that makes a home green, the materials you choose, the techniques you choose. It's how you use what you choose. So you can actually build a very green home without needing any fancy materials, without paying any premium for green products and so on. Just by improving the design and the way your home works and functions, you can actually improve performance tremendously. And again, green building programs, I think, can help you take steps through that process. Sure, there are a lot of points out there to reward you for using recycled content materials, rapidly renewable, da-da-da. But there's also a lot of points for good construction management practice, good indoor air quality management practice, good waste management practice, you know, good erosion and sediment control practices. All of those things that step you beyond code that you can get recognized for by being part of a green program. And that's really, I think, one of the things that's important to recognize is that even as the market tries to catch up with what's happening and provide the materials, you know, leaders like Environmental Home Center certainly have done a fabulous job of bringing materials to the market and making us aware of them. But a lot of people walk into the Environmental Home Center and get sticker shock and say, wow, if this is green, it's kind of over my head. So we got to recognize that you can do a tremendous amount without necessarily having to bump prices up on everything you put in the material. So green building programs, there's a broad range in terms of how they work. Typically, they are voluntary. These are not mandated programs, and I'll say that to the city officials in Kirkland, hopefully, We, you know, when you talk about a green building program, you're not talking about mandates. You know, I think the general sense is that incentive-based programs work better, they perform better, and there's a lot of good reasons for that. So I think that's an important thing to bear in mind, is incenting the market. They are market-driven. You know, I mean, what we're trying to do is create buyer demand so that the people that are demonstrating improved practice get recognized for it and rewarded for it in the marketplace. We are building capacity. Programs bring people together so they can share and learn from one another. There's this kind of community of common interest that functions. And that's a great way to interact and find things out. Talking about getting training, you know, one of the places you get training is from sitting down around the table with guys like John Alexander and Harmony Holmes and, you know, hundreds of others who are out there who've been doing it and know what works. They're not going to share all their most intimate secrets with you, but, you know, they're certainly wanting to help other people to avoid some of the pitfalls that they found along the way. So I think that's a key thing. Did you have a question? No. Okay. Market transformation. At the end of the day, it's about market transformation. And, you know, all the green programs that we've seen have successfully helped that transformation process by bringing people together around some core issues. It's a lot easier to bring products into a marketplace if you've got a body of people who already know they want them, rather than just one or two. You know, one of the things we see as people to come together around a program is a new niche opens up. You know, maybe it's for urethane foam insulation or dense pack cellulose insulation or just better performing windows or whatever it is. Suddenly there's a mass there that people can really start to target. So by participating in a program and everybody focusing in on certain key strategies, you actually then create sufficient demand for somebody to step in and meet that demand. And so it helps to kind of grow the market. And at the same time, to then brand what is green so that the consumer then has some clarity. And I think, as Ben just illustrated, you know, we now have the tools to help people say, okay, that's what I want. How do I find it? So again, I think a really, you know, important piece of the puzzle. And then providing resource training sessions, we talked about. We do a lot of training. There are various other people that are running training programs now at every level. Design, construction, training for subcontractors, all of these things are out there. And we need to see more of them. And obviously finding more ways to deliver them is really the challenge now. How do we get them funded? How do we get them hosted? And so on. And then helping people to find more resources. So the program really creates a sort of lighthouse, if you like, a beacon around which everybody can gather to move things forward. More than 50 programs around the country at the moment. Proud to say we've been involved in somewhere between 5 and 10 of those at one level or another, depending on whether you count all the Built Green programs separately or not. But I think, you know, as we start looking at how they function, a lot of spread there, you know, the average 7-page checklist, the highest is 10, the lowest is 5. Number of credits, anywhere from 65 to 297. I think the new Built Green checklist actually may have more than that here in King County now. Range of points per credit, number of points, and so on. So obviously a lot of variation, but what's interesting is that if you look across all those programs, they all kind of focus in on the same stuff, and they give similar priority to the different aspects of what we think about when we talk about green. So I think we're fairly confident that we're all sort of batting on the same wicket. That's a good cricket term, isn't it? We're batting on the same wicket. You know what that means, everybody clear? I had something in a training the other day that says, this is a belt and braces approach. And somebody called me up and said, what does that mean? And of course, you call them suspenders, right? I call them braces. So he was thinking, okay, it's a belt and braces approach. I don't get it. Anyway. Okay. Let's go on. So, checklist. Now we're going to kind of focus in on two programs. Built Green, Lead for Homes. We're involved with both programs. As I say, we help develop the Built Green program. We do verification and design support and so on for Built Green. We're also the rater for the Lead for Homes program, which is currently in pilot in Washington, well, across the country at the moment, and going into its full phase beginning in about October. They're similar in some ways, they're very different in other ways. And so we'll kind of talk just for a few minutes about those similarities and differences. Built Green, you know, was designed by builders for builders. It was developed, it initiated early in the process of developing the green building marketplace. So it has a lot of prescriptive credits, simple one-line items that are fairly straightforward to understand and to implement. It's very roomy, 200, 300 credit items, so there's lots of choices about what you do in order to get the points to get certified. So you don't have to necessarily change what you do all that much in order to get in the game. And then you have the opportunity to build, and what we've seen with Built Green, and got a lot of criticism, I must say, early on. There's an organization called the Eco Builders Guild here, fabulous organization, you know, probably more of the kind of more committed green builders from early on in the process. They were very critical of Built Green when it first started. They thought it was greenwashing, they thought it was too easy. What we've seen is because it wasn't too intimidating, is a lot of builders got involved. They tried it out. They discovered, hey, actually, there are things that I do that I'm already getting points for here. So let's go a little further. And then you get a few people in, and then they start competing against one another. And I think we saw that, you know, in Port Blakely, Issaquah Highlands, is people wanting to kind of do better than the other guy and be able to talk about more things. And before you know it, everybody's up doing 3-star and saying, we need more levels, we need more levels, we need verification, which we'll come on to talk about. And so, you know, it's this kind of rising tide thing that once you get the ball rolling, people get involved. So having a lot of choices allows you to get into the program without a lot of pain and get started and then evolve your process over time. So I think that's a, you know, it's a good approach. The Lead for Homes program takes a different approach. It's more strategic, much shorter checklist. It's only 2 pages, has about, gosh, I don't know, there's probably about 70 credits at the moment. A lot of them are performance-based credits rather than prescriptive credits. So you have a performance target, you know, beat local energy code by 20% or whatever it is, rather than, you know, use R23 insulation and 0.35 windows and so on. So it, rather than telling you what your choices are, it says, here's the goal, hit it whichever way you want. So a different approach. Because of that, it often requires a little more design assistance. What we're seeing in the market is that the people who are getting into the Lead for Homes pilot are very often multi-unit projects. Quite often there's an architect involved. And so there's a sort of design team formed around the project rather than being a small builder who's building 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 houses a year and doing their own thing. You know, you've got a more sophisticated approach, and I think that's consistent with what we know about LEED. LEED, is anybody not familiar with the term LEED? Great. So Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, no S on the end. And it is come out of the commercial marketplace first, where, of course, there's pretty much always a design team involved, and there's been a fairly imposing and cumbersome process in some ways. And Lead for Homes has evolved to try and respond to create a similar rigor in the process, but without the kind of weight that the commercial programs have. So to be responsive to the needs of the residential marketplace, which is very different. So it's a much tighter program from that point of view. Because it's more performance oriented, there's more calculation and design work that's necessary. It's a little more expensive to be involved in the LEED program, and we'll talk about that a little bit coming up. David, how long, what do you want me to aim for? I know we're running behind, but give me a, may I have another 10 minutes, is that good? 10? Great, okay, thank you. So, anything else I want to say at this point? No, I think that covers it as far as the checklists are concerned. So how do you rate? And I talked about this a little bit already. To me, the ideal approach as far as Built Green, I mean, as far as Built Green or LEED is concerned, as far as using a program is concerned, is to use that checklist as a measure. You know, one of the things that we always see with programs, whether it's commercial or residential, is people start chasing credits. They get into it and it's like, okay, well, I'm going to go after that, and I'm going to go after that, and I'm going to go after that. Before you know it, the checklist is driving the project rather than the other way around. These checklists should be several things. They should be an aid memoir. They should be a guide for you. Things to think about. You know, ideas. What am I going to do with the next project? So what is a useful thing to do, I think, is to take an existing project that you're working on right now that's all designed, or maybe it's just finished, and to go through and score it. Say, okay, so how did we do? Let's just be completely frank and honest here. And I'll bet you that what you discover is that it wasn't that hard to do okay in these programs, because the thresholds for getting into the program typically are not too much of a stretch. And so if you're building quality product, particularly if you're building in developed areas rather than out in greenfield development, you're going to find that you're doing okay. You can then use it as a tool to say, okay, so where do we go next? And one of the things that I think is really important at that point is to know what your goals and priorities are for your business and your product. I think that's critical. And again, I think Ben kind of touched on it as well in his bullet points. One of the things we've seen consistently across every green project is the projects that really know what their priorities are the projects that do better in terms of achieving their goals and making smart choices. Because you have 297 credit items, some of them conflict. You know, you're not going to be able to do all of them, so how do you choose which ones you're going to do? So your own personal compass from that point of view is really important to help you decide whether we should go down this road or down that road. They're both green options, but they take us to different places. So where am I going to invest my money in terms of my own business and my values and the product that I'm presenting to the marketplace? And I think that's really, really critical. One of the other things that I think is really important that differentiates these two programs to some extent is the number of requirements that there are. Built Green, again, thank you, wanting to be flexible and open, doesn't have a lot of requirements, certainly not on the 2- and 3-star level. There is no 1-star anymore. 1-star's gone away. It was really just rewarding people for building to code anyway, so it was kind of getting them in the game, making them feel good, but then getting them on the conveyor belt. So 2- and 3-star levels, there's not a lot of requirements there. You get up to 4-star and there's more requirements. You get up to 5-star and there's quite a lot of requirements. So that way you know if it's a 5-star house, it's going to have all of these things. Lead for Homes takes a different approach and basically says every Lead for Homes home is going to have this, 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 and this. There are like 18 credits that are required items. You know, every Lead for Homes house is an Energy Star house, meets the Energy Star requirement. There are certain durability features that you find in every house. There are certain combustion venting requirements. No Lead house is going to have an air handler or return ducts in the garage. The requirements are more significant as far as Lead for Homes. So there's this kind of brand promise that every Lead for Homes has those features. That makes it a little tougher to get into, you know, particularly for production builders, for example, because if there's something that they don't do that's a requirement, it can be a painful and expensive process to change things just so that you can meet and get in the program. So, you know, those are things to think about. Lead has 4 levels, certified, silver, gold, platinum, same for all of them. Certified, as I say, is it's a little stretch above code, particularly in certain areas, but it's pretty easy to get to. All the levels are verified, and again, we'll talk about verification again a little bit in a moment.
So the lower star levels don't have that verification requirement. In a lot of cases, that can be good because it feels comfortable to get in, you know, work through the process without feeling like somebody's going to be looking over your shoulder and double-checking on stuff. But I would say that because of the shift in the marketplace at the moment, what we're seeing is that there is an increasing interest in verified programs. That knowing that a project has all these features, but the only person who knows that they have those features is the builder who certified it themselves, was fine in the early days, because quite honestly, everybody who was participating was doing it with the best intentions. They got involved because they were building green and they wanted to do a better job. Now that we're seeing this huge demand in the marketplace for green, my guess is there are going to be some people who are going to get in and want to be branded green, but want the path of least resistance to get there. I mean, that's natural. It's the nature of the beast. It's the nature of the market. So the value of having a verified project makes a difference from that point of view. The reality is, you can verify at 2- and 3-star if you want to. You know, you were required to verify at 4- and 5-star. But you could pay to have somebody verify your features in a 2 or 3 star home as well and be able to talk about that and market that fact. So, you know, that's an option. I know David had asked me to try and talk to how they compare. And it's really hard to tell because they don't map directly. So it's not as if 2 star is certified and 3 star is silver and 4 star is gold. I've seen projects that were 4 star, comfortable 4 star homes that only just made certified in Lead for Homes. I've also seen a Lead for Homes gold program that only just made 3 stars on Built Green just because of the nature of the choices that they made. So, you know, there is no direct mapping. I think personally, partly because I work with both programs, I think there's value to doing both. The nice thing about doing both is that if you're committed to the Lead for Homes process, it really only costs you the extra $50 to certify your home under Built Green because all the other things pretty much are covered in your Lead for Homes fee. So that's an option, and I think a way that's quite interesting to compare and have a chance to see which one works better for you, to get a look at, you know, who's responding to what. Because quite honestly, there's not a lot of awareness of Lead in the residential home buyer marketplace right now, except for among professionals in the building industry, you know, who are aware of it from the commercial side. Whereas Built Green is a strong brand in this region. We now have Built Green Washington, a kind of statewide portal, you know, that's helping guide people towards green building. So there's a lot of value there from a brand perspective. And more from that kind of community of common interest point of view. Built Green is a local organization that has that network. So it's building value there. That will come eventually with Lead for Homes, but you don't necessarily have it right now. So, to verify or not to verify, I think I just covered all of that, didn't I? So, in terms of what that means, generally, and how much it costs, perhaps more pertinently, you know, what we're looking for here is the opportunity to have somebody who's somewhat independent from the project independently take a look at what's in your house. Have you actually complied with the target? I know a lot of people who go through and they check off boxes on the Built Green checklist, but they never actually read the user guide that tells you exactly what you have to do in order to meet that requirement. It used to be that was not too big a problem because the requirements were fairly broad. But the revised version of the program now has some more specific thresholds that you have to meet in order to earn the credit. And so to some extent, having a verifier involved just helps to draw attention to those things as much as anything and make sure that things actually get done the way you want. I personally think that the term third-party verified is a little bit of a misinterpretation. I mean, to me, a true third-party verification is somebody who's independent and doesn't have a contractual obligation to the builder or to the homeowner, as maybe. In actual fact, typically what happens as verifiers is we are contracted by the builder to do that verification, but we're held to a standard by the program. So there's some independent auditing that takes place, and that's basically the same for Built Green, Energy Star, Lead for Homes, and so on. So we have, actually what I'm moving towards is having 2 contracts with an architect or a builder. One which is a design assistance contract, and a separate one which is for verification, and we have separate staff. Anybody who is involved in the design of a project doesn't get to verify it, so we have a break there. And that way there's some separation. And then we have a kind of independent audit process to make sure that we are being honest about how we verify and making sure that we're not saying, oh, you know, we really proposed that they did this and it didn't quite work out, so but we'll give it to you anyway. You know, so that's another aspect that I think is important in terms of looking at what the service is that you're getting from a verifier is to make sure that they are going to really be objective about it. Because another piece that's really important about verification, this is not just about verifying to the project checklist. It's also about quality assurance. It's another step in that process that helps to ensure that your product is actually being finished off, completed, the way you wanted it to be and the way that's appropriate to represent your organization. So I think that's another piece of the puzzle from that point of view that really can be a helpful thing. In terms of costs, it can get pretty scary. There's about 25 hours of work goes into a Lead for Homes certification. So, you know, if you're looking at professional fees from $75 to $100 an hour, you can figure out what that costs. We're not allowed to talk about fees. And U.S. Green Building Council is very careful about not discussing costs because they don't want to be seen to be managed, you know, what's that called? Restraint of trade or whatever. But, you know, it can be an expensive process. A single family residence at the moment is costing you up to $2,500 to get through the Lead for Home certification. I hope we'll get that down to around $1,200, $1,500, something like that. But if you do in multiple units, if you're a production builder, you know, and you've got a 300-unit development, that might come down to $300 or $400 a house because you can get into sampling and you've got modeling costs that are spread across a lot of units and so on. So, and Built Green, typically there's not quite so much front. This is because I'm running out of time now. So there's not so much front-end work, so your Built Green verification is going to be maybe $500 to $1,000, depending on what star level you're going for and what the features are and so on. So those may be some useful numbers to aim at. And there we go. That's it. So I should say, I put this. I always have this picture at the end, but it occurred to me today because I was talking about the. I was thinking about the Evangelical Church of Gaia in the car this morning. A colleague of mine who's a very actively practicing Christian calls me. Yeah, that as well. Calls me a secular human. To some extent. Talk about climate change, that's why. We have heated debates about the issue of climate change. And she's an evangelical Christian and thinks that it's all in God's hands. And I'm a secular humanist, apparently, and I think that, you know, we're screwing up and we need to fix the planet. To some extent, I think I'm a human survivalist because at the end of the day, for me, what's going on is really about human survival. You know, the planet will manage without us and it'll be a mess for a while, but nature will survive and thrive as it does. But at the end of the day, you know, you can call me a secular humanist or a human survivalist or whatever. But at the end of the day, I'm a parent. And to me, that's the deal. That's why I do what I do, and I think that's why a lot of you guys are, and gals are here in the room, why you do what you do. And that's what it's got to be about, because at every level, you know, what we're talking about is partly about business, you know, and a good livelihood, but it's also about having an impact and making a difference. So I'm grateful to all of you for being here. Thank you.
Thank you, Alistair. Our final speaker will be giving a presentation on green building from a builder's perspective. Jim Tennyson is a local Kirkland builder, and he has recently started Building Green, and he is here today to share his lessons learned and experience in doing so.
Hi, my name's Jim Tennyson. I'm a Kirkland resident and a local home builder. A little background about it, me and my company. Tennyson Homes has been in business for 15 years. We've been building in the Puget Sound area during that time. The last 10 years, we focused primarily on building in the Kirkland market. Our projects are mainly single-family homes built on infill lots with occasional small plots and multifamily sites. We have some recent experience with the Green Built program. We've been with it for almost 2 years. Learning green building practices has been an ongoing learning process for us. We have found that the program is very worthwhile and valuable to our business. David asked me to share some of my experiences with you today, so I will briefly tell you what motivated our company to move in the green building direction, how we got started, our experiences with the Built Green program, and our future plans concerning building green homes. About 2 years ago, we had a noticeable increase in unsolicited advice, comments, and general negativity coming from neighbors, land sellers, and concerned citizens of all types. A lot of the concern centered on the building practices related to existing home demolition and the general disruption caused by infill development. At first, we were somewhat resistant to the ongoing commentary, but we decided that it would be in the best interest of our company to take a look at what was going on and see if we could take some measures to dispel some of the negativity. We generally wanted to improve the public perception of our business and hopefully find a way to be viewed by the community in a more positive light. We felt that we would be more likely to receive calls from homeowners looking to sell land and generate fewer complaints if we took some steps to communicate with the surrounding neighbors. We noted that one of the most common complaints was the demolition process itself. People did not like changes taking place in their neighborhood, Some had emotional attachments to the existing homes and resented them being torn down. And many saw builders crunching and discarding existing homes into a dumpster as a waste. One of the people we bought land from was particularly convincing and knowledgeable about the neighborhood concerns, and she offered to help us upgrade our recycling program and had other good ideas. We decided to write letters to the homes surrounding our future job sites and explain the scope of the project about to commence, give them some general time frames and schedules, and warn them about future disruptions. We let the neighbors know that we were engaging in a comprehensive recycling plan for the structure being demolished. We explained that we would also be reusing and donating landscaping trees and plants. I gave them my cell phone number and encouraged them to call me with questions and concerns. We have found that developing this connection has helped relieve many of the tensions and apprehension that development creates in the surrounding neighborhood, but unfortunately not all of it. We decided that along with an extensive recycling effort, which includes asking professional salvage companies to take whatever they can use and allowing other interested parties to reclaim materials, that we would also donate mature landscaping trees that could be dug up and reused. We found that a business named Big Tree Company will coordinate the removal of such trees. Many of the neighbors were thrilled to see that some of the trees would be reused and saved. Also, the city of Bellevue took some of our trees from the site to use in their parks. Around this time, we received an email announcement from the master builders outlining the Built Green program. We recognized that this fit nicely with our efforts towards building a good reputation for our company and mitigating neighborhood concerns. We decided to investigate. After doing an inquiry about Built Green, we decided to attend the Master Builders Seminar and join the program. We were skeptical that green building was all about solar panels and sod roofs and composting toilets, but we were dead wrong. We were pleased to find out that this is a graduated program. It's not an all-or-nothing proposition. The program is designed to allow builders to ease into it without a lot of upfront costs or major changes in operation. In fact, we were already building at a high two-star point level, and we saw that with a little fine-tuning, we could easily build a three-star rated home. I believe that all home builders in the Kirkland market are already building green at some level. Many items on the Build Green checklist fit very nicely with the typical Kirkland building project. For example, the checklist awards 10 points for building on an infill lot. So it makes a lot of sense for builders to get credit and recognition for their efforts. Our first Build Green project was very rewarding and did not require an overwhelming amount of effort or redesign to accomplish. After attending the Built Green class, we made some adjustments that would allow for a three-star rating. Some of the changes we made included moving to low VOC paints and chemicals, installing a 92% furnace and an upgraded water heater. We were also able to build an on-site stormwater retention system. This is another common practice in the Kirkland market, as oftentimes it's hard to go to the storm sewer system. We also used some recycled timbers for millwork elements and landscaped with plants that required less water. The home sold quickly, and we had a lot of positive remarks from the new home buyers and the real estate agent involved concerning the Built Green designation. In fact, we have received positive comments from buyers and agents about the program regarding all of our Built Green homes. Some buyers have commented that it was a significant part of their buying decision. For us, this experience validated the Built Green program and its value to our company. Another positive experience we had with our first Built Green home is that it is a featured home on the Built Green website, adding to our overall company exposure and marketing efforts. In addition, our company was mentioned in a King County and a Kirkland Courier article about green building. This is exactly the type of positive PR and community recognition for a business that we were looking for. We felt that the Built Green effort had been extremely successful in improving our company image in the community. Providing our customers with Built Green homes means increased energy efficiency and a comfortable, healthy indoor environment. By lowering overall energy consumption, our new homeowners benefit from lower costs and the satisfaction that their home has fewer emissions. Buyers in today's market are aware of increasing fuel costs and the problems associated with fuel emissions, and knowing that they are buying a home that addresses these issues is a strong marketing point. Using sustainable and durable materials adds value to the homes and conserves resources. Recycling waste and reusing plants as well as other on-site protection measures benefits and helps protect the community in general. We have found that adding Built Green features to our homes is very well received by home buyers. We have priced our homes to reflect the intrinsic value that a Built Green home reflects, and our experience is that the Kirkland market desires these features. In other words, it has been profitable. Almost any building publication one reads today points towards a trend of sustainable, healthy, environmentally friendly, and energy efficient homes. We believe that home buyers in the Kirkland market reflect these values, and we feel that there is a strong demand for Built Green homes. The Built Green program supports its members with free marketing tools, signs, logos, and public recognition. Kirkland home buyers understand the inherent value they have acquired when they purchase a certified built green home. It's a value that they'll be able to pass on when they sell the home. In fact, we have found building green so rewarding that we have decided to build our next generation of homes at a 4-star certified level and utilize the Energy Star program as well. We have hired an independent consultant to help guide our green building energy efficiency program. Our future projects will undergo third-party verification for both the Built Green program and the Energy Star program. We feel that the Kirkland market will embrace these efforts and will help keep our company moving towards the future of green building.
Thanks, Jim. So I had a few questions, and I think they're questions that builders kind of want to know about the program and your experience. You alluded to the level of building that most of the Kirkland builders are building at right now. And I think the burning question that I have and they might have is, well, how hard is it for me, you know, not being a green builder, to make that conversion and, you know, start becoming a sustainable builder?
Well, we found the process was extremely simple. It was very inexpensive and not really time-consuming either. Basically, what we did was got on the Built Green website that the MBA has available, found out about the program, got some general information, and then we signed up for a seminar that just took a morning to do. The costs are very, very low. I think it cost about $150 to join and $50 a house to certify. And I think most builders are going to find that they're already at that level, and it won't take much effort at all to join the program, be recognized for their efforts, and from there the program will grow within their company.
And what about as far as subcontractors and so forth? There are certain things that they need to do to help you get the points to achieve the certification of a built green home. And I think that maybe some builders want to know, where do I find these people, you know, or if I'm going to use my own subs and I'm going to train them, how does that work? If you could just relate your experience and
right,
what
that's
found
a good,
has worked out what best for you.
That's a really good question. And what we found is moving from a 2- or 3-star level is most of the things that we needed to do didn't really involve training subcontractors at that level. It involved more of the choices of the materials we were making, the type of mechanics that we were putting in the home, the energy system, landscaping, those types of things. So basically we could just direct our existing subcontractors to make some changes that were very easy for them. As we move into the next level, one of the things we found out at a certified level and a 4-star level is that's not necessarily true. And that's one of the reasons that we've hired the consultant, because he's already helped us identify and make contact with subcontractors that are able to take some of the critical components of the house, for instance, the heating system and the building envelope, and they are already certified 4-star or Energy Star subcontractors. And we are going to move in that direction instead of training our existing subs, as much as we like to stay loyal to them. And if they want to come up to that level, we'd be happy to see them do it. But some of the critical elements, we are going to move into a different type of subcontractors that are already doing it and hire them. We've also been pleasantly surprised. We've gotten some bids on doing this type of work, and it's really, really competitive with what we're already paying. It's not significantly higher at all.
So you've kind of done the initial stuff to 3-star home. And I would just kind of like to get your perception of, as you've gone now going to higher standards, maybe the 4-star, have you found it's been, now that you've started it, has it been quite easy to do? Or is it now that you have a little bit of experience, you feel like you can move to that next level a lot easier? Or you know, are there some challenges that you need to address?
I think there will be some challenges that we're going to need to address. I think for us, jumping in at a 4-star level might have been overwhelming, and I'm glad we didn't choose to do that. And I don't recommend it, and I don't believe that most builders will probably, you know, follow that path. Now that we are aware of a lot of the components that a built green home has, it will be a lot easier for us. We're aware of the list. We're aware of what we need to do to the various components and types of materials that we need to install in the house. And it's a little early in the process for me to answer that question. I do see that it is going to be a more difficult project just because it's going to be our first four-star project. But one of the things we've done is by hiring the consultant and by trying to get some of the subcontractors lined up before we even start the project, it does take some organization that wouldn't normally be there, but we are so happy with what's gone on with the 2 and 3 star level green building that we're more than happy to make the extra effort, and we think that we're going to be paid back for it, you know, in home sales and our reputation, and we think that the Kirkland home buyers are going to really appreciate what we're doing.
Great. One other question I had was, an earlier speaker was talking about real estate and talking about some of the costs that go into, you know, higher-end green materials going into the home and the paybacks and quality over quantity and so forth and so on. And I was just wondering if you could address just your experience in, like, say, building the homes you've already built that have been built green and the perceptions of the buyers and the real estate agents that dealt with you, kind of your feedback. And secondly, you know, for the money you put in, did you feel like, hey, that was worth it? You know, I'm not, you know, spending way more money and not getting very much. If you could talk about that.
Well, we feel that the built green homes that we've accomplished so far, that we had a really nice mix of the type of materials that are an upgrade. They do cost more money. We do feel that we were paid for them by the market. It was recognized just through talking to our buyers during the walkthrough. The comments that I heard on some of the components and aspects of the home definitely were noticed by the buyers, and they were definitely willing to pay for it. And that, well, like I said in my speech there, is that once that happened and we actually got that validation from the buyers, it made us more confident to take it to another level. And the market really is changing right now from the big, shiny castles to more casual, comfortable, environmentally friendly homes. It's just on the verge of exploding, we believe, and we feel this with our buyers. And so we think that the Kirkland market is ready for us to take this to the next step, and it really isn't that risky of a proposition. Like I said, a lot of the bids that we're getting and a lot of the pricing of the various components of the home are not that much more than what we're paying now. And as this trend emerges, the prices are going to come down, and as it just becomes common for people to build green, it's going to be a normal daily operation cost.
Great. So in closing, I'd kind of like to just put this out there. If there's a builder in the audience and they're already thinking that they want to try their hand at green building, what would be succinctly your advice to them to, like, get started? You know, it could be your own experience or.
Well, I think just clicking on the Build Green website it's a great website. It's got a lot of information on it, and then sign up for the first seminar and go to the seminar. And you know, it's so simple to become a member. Take a look at the list, build a house with the list in mind. It's not hard to do, and just calculate what you need for the point level that you're going to try to arrive at. Build a house, turn it in, and see what happens. And you're going to, I think any builder is going to be pleasantly surprised with the outcome. And I think their experience will be similar to ours. Once you start doing it, it's so rewarding. The market acceptance, the public acceptance, the good will that you generate in the community for your company is overwhelming compared to the cost and the effort that you have to put in to start this program. So it's very simple. That's what I'd suggest. Just take a look at the website and then go to a seminar and just take it from there. It's very simple.
Well, Jim, I'd really like to thank you for taking your time today and helping us educate people about green building and specifically your experience here in Kirkland. And it's really helping the city of Kirkland determine what we need to do to be supporters of sustainable building. And thank you very much for your time again.
Thanks. You're welcome.
Thanks.